Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirman Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Shalom. We're now on Masechet Zvachim Daf Tzadi Vav Amud Bet at the bottom of the Amud, in the middle of Mishnah Zion of Perek Yud Aleph. Rabbi Tarfon Omer Bishel Mitchilat HaRegel Yivashel Bo Kol HaRegel. That if you used one of these pots to cook at the beginning of one of the regalim, you can cook in it throughout the regal, and only afterwards have to process the merika ushtifa or the shvira. Chachamim Omerim Adzman Achila merika ushtifa. That you have to do the processing at the end of the Zman Achila. We'll see exactly what that means in the Gemara. Merika, how's it done? Kemerika takos, which means washing out the inside. Shtifa, kishtifa takos, which means washing out the outside. Merika ushtifa, bitsonein, and they're both done with cold water. This is a piece that we just saw at the end of the previous Gemara. However, hashfod, which is a spit, vahaskala, which is a grill, magilan mechamin, you have to use hot water on them to get the time out. Now, my time and Rabbi Tarfon, why does Rabbi Tarfon say that you have the whole Yom Tov? In the context of the Korban Pesach, it says you get up in the morning and leave. Meaning, as if every day of Yontif is just one morning. Meaning, there's just one morning after Yontif at the very end. So the whole thing is one long day. What are we talking about? If you bring a Korban on the second day of the Regal, thinking you're going to eat it on the fifth day, or you leave it over till the fifth day, you violate the law. You don't say it's all one day. And the proof positive is that Rabbi Tarfon himself says that this halacha only applies to the issue of processing kelim, not pigul and notar. They all have regular days. The reason is very different. We saw this in Avodah Zarah. Every day that you process the kli, that you use the kli for hot cooking, you're doing giul on what was there the day before. However, after Yom Tov, you might not use it every day, and therefore you have to clean it out. My kamar, so mentioned in the Mishnah, we're going to explain what this phrase means. You have to wait until the Zman Achila of that particular korban is up. So, for instance, if you had a shlamim, and you cook the shlamim in it, you have to wait until the next day, at the end of the day, when the shlamim time is totally up, and then clean out the kli. Why? That every zachar can eat the chatat and says clean it out. What? How do you reconcile that? I mean, you have to give the full time of eating. When that time of eating is up, then you clean it out. Now, Marika, can we write Katakos? Shtifa, Kishtifa, Takos. Tanarabanan. Here we go. Marika, Shtifa, Vitsone, and Divi Rebbe. So Rebbe says what we had in our Mishnah, that they're both cold, and one's inside, one's outside. They say, no, Marika is hot water, Shtifa is cold water. Not necessarily inside or outside. My Tanarabanan, why do they say you need both? Just like doing Hagalah and any other Kli that you get, let's say, from non-Jews, you have to agola with hot water for Rebbe. So what is Rebbe's answer? Rebbe certainly has to agree you need you hot water in order to get the taste of the chatat out. I'm not talking about that. Meaning, as I mentioned this earlier on in the perek, clearly you need to do Hagalah in any case. The only question is, what about the, besides that? So besides that, you have to do merika ushtifa, and that's cold. Rabbanan, im ken lichtov kra o morak morak o shutaf shutaf. Then the Torah, if it only wanted you to use cold water, could have just said the same word twice, not morak v'shutaf. My morak v'shutaf, which really is synonymous, shma minam, merika v'chamin, shtifa v'tzorim, must be that the difference between them is the temperature of the water. For Rebbe says, Iktiv Morak Morak, if you said that, I may not trey zimni Morak or trey zimni Shutaf. I might have thought you just have to wash out the inside or the outside twice, and the other part doesn't get washed at all. Chakti Morak Shutaf, Malacham Rikav, Kumarakata Kosh, Tifa Kishtifata Kos. Tell you, you have to do them like you do with a Kos. By the way, the Kos mentioned here, just like in our Mishnah, is Kos Shel Bracha, that when you're going to use it for a Bracha, specifically the context of Birkat HaMazon, it has to be washed out both on the inside and on the outside. You have to wash it out. Now, this is Sugi and Brachot about the particular topic. In the seventh parak, even though there's 10 different desiderata for Kosh Shel Bracha, the four that we are Makpid on Archayu Mazug, Mrika Ushtifa. Alright, then that's something we'll deal with when we get to Brachot in more detail, but Mrika Ushtifa show up there as well. Okay, the last Mishnah. Bishombo Korashim Chulin. Let's say that you had your, pot, and you cooked both Kodshim and Chulin, in the pot. Or you mix kochi kochim and kochim kalim. Im yesh ban ben noten tam, if there's no ten tam of the offensive one, meaning the kochim or the kochi kochim, then, hare kalim yachalim kechamur bahen, kechamur inch bahen. Then the lighter one follows the contours of the stricter one. So if it's kochim and chulin, then the kochim put tam into the whole pot. The chulin have to be eaten like kochim in the Azara or in Yerushalayim, depending what they are. If it's kochi kochim and kochim kalim and the tam is there, then you have to eat it like Kodshe Kodshim, only Zichre Kahuna, only in the Azara, etc. Ve'enatun imirka u'shtifa. And you don't have to clean them out. Ve'enam poslim v'maga. And they do not invalidate by touch. Now, rekik shenagabra rekik v'chaticha v'chaticha. If a loaf of bread touched another loaf of bread, one of them is a mincha, or a piece of meat, another piece of meat. Lo kol hakihim, lo kol hachatichot asurin. Not everything is asur. Only a place where taste really was absorbed, but not the whole bunch of loaves, etc. Now, my kamar, let's go back to the beginning of the Mishnah. Im yesh ben benotein tam, this is what it means. Hare akalin ne'achalin kachamurin. Meaning, if the severe one put tam into the mix, then the lighter one has to be eaten like the severe one. Utu ninrika ushtifa. I went through the Mishnah kind of quickly, but the Mishnah is kind of strange because it says if he is not in tam, then you have to eat like the chamor, but no mrikau shtifa, no posul maga. It says no, that's a kind of abbreviated version. Really what it means is if there's no ten tam, then you have to eat it like the chamor one, and you need mrikau shtifa, and so the posul maga. Ain ben menotin tam, but if there is no menotin tam, then in a klin achalim chamurim, you don't have to eat it like the chamur one that didn't put any taste in there. Ve'ain tun mikau shtifa, ve'ain post them maga, and then they don't have that effect. Now, to eat a kochim kochim lobau, kochim kalim nibi. Now, wait a second, according to Rabbi Shimon at least, according to Rabbi Yehuda, if you have kochim kochim and kochim kalim together in a pot, even though you don't have to wash it out because of the kochim kochim, if it doesn't have tam, you still have to wash out because of the kochim kalim. So Abaye, am I intuning to Kamar Kochi Kochim? He said, yeah, that's what it means. You don't have to wash it out on account of the Kochi Kochim, but you do on account of the Kochim Kalim, which of course, based on the halacha that we saw, it gives you more time to do it. Have a Kochim Kalim tuning? Rav Amar, he has a different take. Hamani Rabbi Shimon, he Damar Kochim Kalim, and tuning Rikosh Tifa. The Mishnah's author by Rabbi Shimon, who says Kochim Kalim do not require it. And therefore, if it's Kochi Kochim and Kochim Kalim together, and there's no time of the Kochi Kochim, you don't have to wash it out at all. Now, Bishtamala Rava, Rava's approach works well. Hanuktani, O Kochi Kochim, Kochim Kalim. I understand why you have two pieces, both Chulin and Kochim, and Kochi Kochim and Kochim Kalim. To teach me, it's Rabbi Shimon. Habaya Tatilamali, according to Habaya, why do you need them both? The answer is Tzrichi. Because neither one would give me the other. Deitana kochim chulin. If I had the first clause of the Mishnah, havemena chulin hu demavatli kochim, I would think, sure, if you have kochim in a pot with a lot of chulin, then the chulin are mevatel de la minayu, because even though they're both meat, the chulin are a different species. So it's min b'sheino mino. Hava kochim kochim and kochim kalim me malo. If it's kochim kochim and kochim kalim, even the smallest amount is osa, because it's all one min. So therefore I need to tell me, no, without time it doesn't count. V'itana kochim kochim and kochim kalim. If I had the second clause, havena kochim hu dalim v'tulei kochim. Kochim are strong enough to mevatel other kochim. Hava chulin me malo. Maybe chulin are not strong enough to overcome kochim, and even the smallest bit of kochim is osa. Tzricha. Good. Now the end of the next piece was rakik shigia barakik. If you have loaves touching each other, so the background for that is Tanur Rabbanan. Kol shigia yachol afilu shelo bala. The Torah says anything that touches it, I might think even if it touched and there was no absorption, tamalo rabiv sarai. You have to touch the meat in order for it to be a problem. Ashiv labiv sarai. Now, yachol nagab mitzar chaticha yekulo pasul. I may think the whole piece of meat is pasul, even though I touch it a little bit. Tamid lomar yiga. Hanogea pasul, meaning only the spot of contact. Haketzad, what do you do? Chotech et makom shabala. You have to cut off the spot where it absorbed. Now, it says biv sara, velo begidin, velo batzamon, velo bekarnayim, velo ptlafayim. It only applies to meat and not to those appendages that we've dealt with so many times, which do not count. Now, the rest of the pasuk is yikdash, means the yod kemoha. Yikdash means it takes on the sanctity of the affecting piece. Haketzad, im psulahi, if the affecting piece is pasul, tipasel, everything it touched becomes pasul. Im ksherahi, if on the other hand it's kasher, teachal kachamur shabbat, then it's eaten like the more severe of the two. Amai, v'neiti aseh v'lidchit lo taseh, there's an aseh of eating kodshim. That should push away the lotase of this chatat psula, and you should eat your shlamim, even though they have a taste of the chatat psula. The answer is Amarava, inoset dochad lotase shmikdash. He says the rule that ase dochad lotase does not apply in the Beit HaMikdash. It applies, outside. So therefore we wouldn't apply a rule here. And what's his proof? Shinemar, in the context of the Korban Pesach, we have the following line. The Torah prohibits breaking a bone in the Korban Pesach. It doesn't matter if the bone even has some marrow in it, which would be considered meat. And therefore, the mitzvah of eating the Korban Pesach does not trump the lotase breaking the bone, if the only way to get to the meat is to break the bone. So we ask, why doesn't the ase of eating the Pesach trump the lotase? The answer is, I know, sedochad lotase shemikdash. There we go. Ravashi has a different take. Yikdash is asehu. The fact of yikdash is itself an asei. And asei dochad lotase vasei, which means the asei of eating the kodshim is now being challenged by a lotase of eating chatat psula, but also of an asei of yikdash. And that it cannot trump. And therefore you would not go ahead and eat it. Now, Ashkechan Chatat Mitkayesh Balua, so far all we find is that a Chatat has this halacha Shakochim Nal. And how do we know to extend it to all of the Kodshim that if another Korban is cooked with other things, it has that effect? Amar Shmuel Mishum Rabbi Lazar Zota Torah LaOlav LaMincha VaLaChatat VaLaShav LaMilim Zavach Shlamim. The famous pasuk that comes right at the end of the whole Torah Takorbanot in Parshat Tzav at the end of Perek Zayin that lists all these korbanot is used as follows to go through and say each one of these now becomes a signal for the rest and has a halacha that applies to the rest. Let's start with Olah. What's that? Ki Olah Ma Olah Tuna Kli Af Kol Tuna Kli. Just like an Olah requires a kli, similarly all of them do. My kli, what are we talking about? Elam Mizrek, if you think it's the chalice for accepting blood. So Shalmit Tzibur Namik Tibahu, it says that even about Korbanot Shlamim that Moshe brought at Har Sinai, Vaikach Moshe Chatzi Adam Yasam Maganot, he took the blood and put it into the vessels before putting it on the people. So that's not the kli, that we've already got explicitly written about elsewhere. Ela Desakin, and rather the fact that you have to use a knife for the Olah, for shechting it. The Olah grew from an Alan. How do you know that an Olah needs a knife? When Avram was at the Akedah with Yitzchak, it explicitly says he took a knife. V'hatam Olahu, and that Korban was an Olah. As it turned out, Avram saw the ram, and he brought it as an Olah in place of his son. His son was supposed to be an Olah. Mincha, what does the word mincha teach us in this pasuk? And what halacha do we apply from mincha to the rest of the korbanot? Ma mincha in anachelet el zichrei kuna. Mincha is only eaten by the male kohanim. Av kol in anachelet el zichrei kuna. All kotche kotchim are only eaten by male kohanim. Not by, it's not like truma that's given to all the families of the kohanim or chaz v'shok. Maihi, what's that mean? If we're talking about chatat nasham, or eaten by the zichrei kuna, that it says explicitly, all the males of the kohanim eat the chatat nasham. If you're talking about the korbanot shlamim of Shavuot, that we get from an extra phrase, b'kodesh hakodeshim tochalenu kozachar yochal oto. Which means you have it elsewhere also. So the answer is Tanoi, he have machloka Tanaim, Ika Danafka Le Mihacha, the Ika Danafka Le Mihacha. Some people learn this principle that the mincha is that the mincha is eaten by Zichrei Kohuna, and that then applies to all the other korbanot. Sorry, that the shamit sibur are eaten by the Zichrei Kohuna from that ribuya, and others learn it from our application of mincha. Okay, what about chatat? Ma chatat mikadesh balua, of kol mikadesh balua, that if the korban is mavliya in something else, it's mikadesh it to take on its sanctity if it's higher than the other thing. Same thing with other korbanot. Asham. What do we learn from Asham? Ma Asham, Ein Shafir Rishilya Mikadosh Bo. When you have an Asham, the placenta that's inside an Asham is not Kadosh. Not because it can't be, because an Asham is only a male. We're going to get to that in a minute. Of course, Ein Shafir Rishilya Kadosh Bo. So therefore, every Korban that has a placenta, which could happen, of course, with female korbanot like chataot and shlamim, the placenta is not kadosh. Now, kesara vladot kodashim aretan in kadoshim. So this Tana holds that vladot kodashim only become sanctified when they're actually born, which means that the placenta doesn't have sanctity. V'dani nefshar mishefshar, and we can also, and this is the key thing we mentioned, we're also going to apply what we know in a case which is efshar, like an asham, which is male, and even apply it to a case of efshar, like a shlamim, that's a female, and say nonetheless the placenta is not kadosh. What do we learn from miluim, the korbanot miluim during the days of preparation for the dedication of the Mishkan? Ma miluim motrehan b'sreifa. What did they do with anything left over from the miluim? They burned it. Vein balechayim motrehan, and there's nothing alive in the motar, meaning the only thing that was left over was leftover meat that was not finished up in time. Afkol motrehan b'sreifa, vein balechayim b'motrehan. That everything we learned, that all other korbanot, if they're left over, they have to be burned. But also that doesn't apply to living animals. So for instance, if you had an animal that you set aside as a korban, and then it got lost, you brought another one in its place, and then you found the old one, you don't burn it up, but rather you let it graze, etc., as we're all familiar with the nitak l'ri'iyah. Now what about shlamim? Ma shlamim faglin umit paglin, and this we saw way back in the third parak, that all the dinim of pigul we get from shlamim, so just like shlamim have a din of pigul. Pigul is written explicitly in the case of shlamim by Yomash Lishi. Therefore, avkom faglin umit paglin, all of them can have the effect of pigul or become pigul. It's true about all korbanot. Now, that's version one of this. Rabbi Kiva had a different version of three of them, chatat, mincha, and asham. He had the same thing we had of Chatat apply to Mincha. That we know that a Mincha, if its taste is absorbed in something else, it's Mekadesh. Of course, Mekadesh Balua. Why do we need both? If we only have mincha, it's so soft, it's nivla, it gets in taste. Chatat ain't malo, not with a chatat. If we only have chatat, mishum the career, because the chatat has all this fat on it, and it sends out the taste. Alva mincha ain't malo. I wouldn't say the same thing about a mincha. Tzricha, therefore, need both. What does he learn from chatat? Ma chatat. Ein abai ela min achulin uvayom uviyado haimanit. A chatat can only come from chulin. You can't use maser behema for it. And it has to be brought during the day. And it has to be brought with your right hand, meaning the zerikat adam has to be the tinat adam, so done with the right hand. Of course, ein abai ela min achulin uviyom uviyado haimanit. So the same applies to all of them. V'chatat minal. And how do we know that a chatat is only during the day? That it only comes from not from chulin. This is Yom Kippur. Mishalo, it has to be his own korban. V'lo mishal tzibur, it can't be bought with communal funds. V'lo mishum maaser, and it also can't be his maaser behema. Biyom, how do we know biyom? Biyom sabato nafko. That we get from a very general pasuk, not about a chatat, that Hashem commanded Moshe on the day to bring the korbanot. So we know korbanot are only during the day. The answer is you're right. Kadin aspa. Biyom was really mentioned here, sort of as part of the series, but it really wasn't learned from chatat. Biyado haimanit. So we have marachana nafka. This we had much earlier in the masachet. Marachana, Rabbi Shlokesh, komakom shenamar etzpa ukuna inu alame yamin. Anytime that you either have the word etzpa, you have to use your finger, or the Kohen does it, we know it has to do with his right hand. The answer is Kadin Aspa. You're right. That also was inadvertent. The only real thing that we were bringing here was Minachulin. A Baitema, this one we could save. Savala Korbishimo Damar Etzpa Lobaya Kuna. When you have the word Etzpa, that's enough. But Kuna, if it says Kohen, that's not enough. By Etzpa, and therefore Chatat really is a model for Yadoah Yemanit. Okay, what's about Asham? Ma Asham Atzvotah Mutarin Afkol Atzvotah Mutarin. Just like an Asham, the bones of an Asham are mutar. They have no sanctity once they separate out, as we saw in the previous parak. Same with all korbanot. Okay, Amar Rava. So now Rava says, Pshitali, Dam Chatat Lamata, Vadam Ola Lamala. Back to the Beged. You have Dam Chatat right on the Beged, and above it, Dam Olah. Ton Kibbutz, you have to wash it out. Sporty Rabbi, here's his question. Dam Olah Lamata Vadam Chatat Lamala. What about the opposite? What if you have Dam Olah? Right on that spot, Dam Chatat hits. Mishum Nogeahu Vahan Nogeah. Is it because it's touching the Beged? The Dam Chatat's touching the Beged. Mishum Baluahu Havahalo Bala. Or maybe it's because it's absorbed in the Beged, and it's not because the Dam Olah is in front of it. So Harapashta in Tonin Kibbutz, his later answer was, you know what, you don't need to wash it because it's not absorbed in. So Amarava, he now asked another question. Pshitali dam al bigdo chotzeitz. This is stam. If you have dam on a garment and you're going to put your garment in the mikvah, it's chotzeitz because dam is something that most of us don't want to have on our garment. We're makbin on it's a chazitza. Vim tabachu, but if you are a shochet, ain't a chotzeitz. Why? Because you have dam on your begadim all the time. You're not makbin on it. It's not a chazitza. Revav al bigdo chotzeitz. If you have a piece of animal fat on your beged, it's a chatzitza. But if you're a revav salesman, if that's what you do, ain't a chotzeitz because you're used to having it. So now here's his question. Boy, Rava. Dam revav al bigdo. Let's say you have blood and fat on the beged. Mahu. So im tabachu typically mishum revav. So if he's a shochet, it's a chatzitza because of the fat. V'imocher revavu typically mishum dam. If he's on the other hand a fat salesman, then it's a problem because of dam. The answer is Lotzricha David Abahai. He's a guy that does both. Acharalo kapid, atarta kapid. Maybe the guy won't care about one mess on his garment, but he's makpid that not to have two. Odilma tarti namilo kapid. Maybe he's not makpid at all. And the answer to the whole thing is teku. And with that, we end our study of Perek Dam Chatat. Shakoach to Alamdim for another successful Perek that we have Baruch Hashem completed. And Amir Hashem, in the next podcast, we will begin the 12th Perek Tvul Yom. In the meantime, I want to wish everybody a wonderful day.